was Simon. Simon Peter. That name Peter was the nickname Jesus gave me that day, just like you just heard. And in Aramaic, my nickname was Cephas, which means rock. And in Greek, it means Petros. Peter means rock as well. Why on earth would he call me that? Well, here I was. When I first followed Jesus with my brother Andrew, we were just, unkempt, rough and tumble fishermen. Yes, I had my own business. I was an entrepreneur. I had my own boat, you know. But I wasn't an educated man. I didn't study stuff. I didn't have time for that. I didn't have time to sit around with the rabbis and discuss the scriptures like some guys did. I had a business to attend to. I had a family to feed, you know. So why would Jesus call me? And why would I so easily have just left everything and followed him? Well, it wasn't that easy. And it's not an easy question to answer. If you have ever felt called to do something in your life, you know what I mean, right? There was something magnetic about this Jesus. It was just, he drew people to himself. Maybe you've had that experience of Jesus yourself, just drawing people to himself. And, you know, there was so much that happened those 3 years that we were with him. I mean, the miraculous things we saw. People, blind people, given their sight, deaf people hearing, and people who could just come along and touch the hem of his garment and they could be healed. I mean, there were people, dead people raised to life. Just one thing after another. And we went to parties with interesting people. I mean, the hoi polloi, the priests and the lawyers. We went to dinner with them, and we went to dinner with tax collectors and prostitutes and other people with bad reputations. All Jesus was trying to teach us and them, that they all belong to the kingdom of heaven. Stuff like that happened. And, but with all of that, why would he call me an uneducated, boisterous, hot-tempered fisherman and call me the rock on which he would build his church? Time after time, I was so thick-headed, I didn't get it. You know, he'd be teaching something and it would just go right over my head. Other times, I was so sure for a minute that then the next moment I'd sink like a rock. Think about it for a minute. You probably know this story. It's funny to me now. It wasn't funny then. But Jesus was out teaching, on this hillside, and people just flocked like usual. All day they kept coming. He was teaching and he was healing people. Before long, we had 5,000 people out there on the hillside, and they were starving to death. So you know what he did? He took these 5 loaves and 2 fish that we had, and he made it enough for us to feed everybody, all 5,000. And you know what? It was the strangest thing. We were wiped out after that. Jesus was wiped out. He went to take a break, and I took the disciples in my boat so we could have a day off too. But you know what? This happened a lot on the Sea of Galilee. As you went across the sea, the storms came up in the middle of the night, tempestuous storms, and I was convinced that my boat was going to capsize and we'd all ended up in the bottom of the lake. I was scared to death. And then, you know what? Along comes this figure way out on the water in the midst of the storm heading toward us. We were scared to death. "It's a ghost," we cried. We're screaming, And then we heard this familiar voice. It went like this. "It's all right. It's I myself. Don't be afraid." It was Jesus walking on the water. So me and my big mouth, what do I say? I say, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come on out. Come on out." So you know what? I got there on the edge of my boat. I stepped out just like that. I was standing on the water, and I started walking. I thought, "Wow, isn't this cool? Look at me." And then I got scared to death because it was storming bad. And I got my eyes off of Jesus, and I went down like a rock. And I did the only thing I could think to do. I just cried out, "Lord, save me!" And you know what he did? He grabbed my arm and got me back on solid water, so to speak. And then you know what he said to me? He said, "You little faith, what made you lose your nerve like that?" It wasn't the last time I sunk like a rock either, quite honestly. Right in this old story that you heard today, right afterwards, in that moment, sometimes it could be so crystal clear. It just came to me when he said, "Who do you say I am?" And I said, "You're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And then, he gives me this nickname, Rock. And right after that, He tells us about what a Messiah is going to have to do, which is to suffer and die and rise again. And I go to him, Jesus, come on, come on. Enough of that talk. That's stupid talk. That ain't going to happen. And you know, he called me after I said that. Satan. He called me Satan. He says, get behind me, Satan. Falling away, that means. Sink like a rock, huh? Well, then you probably know the story about what happened that night. We were having the Passover meal with Jesus. Things were getting tough. They were getting tight. We were kind of nervous, you know? But Jesus, in that meal, he told us all, he said, all of you are going to betray me, desert me. And I said to him, Lord, I don't care what anybody else does in this room. I will never desert you. It wasn't long after, that very night after he's arrested, that here I was, and I remembered the words, before the rooster crows three times, Peter, you will deny that you even knew me. And I tell you what, when that rooster crowed, wiped me out. I cried like a baby all night. I didn't know what to do. You can imagine, though, 2 days later how I felt. When Mary Magdalene came knocking on the door of the place where we were hiding out, that upper room, she came and banged on the door and she was screaming, he's risen, he's risen, he's risen. And then she came running up the stairs and she said, Peter, Jesus had a special message for you. He said, tell Peter and the rest of them to come and meet me in Galilee. There they'll see me like I promised. Can you imagine what that was like? Even after betraying him in the most unforgivable way, he still wanted me. Well, that wasn't the last time either. You know, there were others. There was a time, times after he rose from the dead. One thing after another, I'd screw up. I'd be sinking like a rock. You know? Why did Jesus keep calling me then? Why was it he called me the rock on which he would build his church? I was the most headstrong, the most stubborn, the most impulsive, oftentimes putting my foot in my mouth. I screwed up more than anybody else, according to the record, it seems. Why would he call me to be the leader? Well, there was one thing I now know that I didn't know then. As much as I screwed up, every time that I screwed up, at least I was able to have the sense to scream out, Lord, save me! And you know what? He did. And then he'd say, no, just follow me. And I'd say, okay, Lord, on to the next thing. Whatever you have in mind here, let's go. At least I could do that. And you know what? There was even the time I kept getting in hot water. One time it was with Paul, that you'll hear about next week. I was in such hot water with him, I tell you. He was out with some folks, with Gentile Christians, you know, and the people in Jerusalem didn't even buy that they could be Christians. So I was out there trying to have an open mind, right? So I, you know, how Jews aren't supposed to eat pork. There we were having a pork dinner. And along come these Jewish Christians from Jerusalem. I think, I'm not getting into this. I'm not going to get into trouble. So I kind of pretended I hadn't been at the dinner. And Paul came right out of that meal, and he just got in my face, and he accused me of being a hypocrite. Can you imagine? Right in front of all these Jewish Christians from Jerusalem, just wrecked my reputation. Down I go again. See, even then I had to deal with stuff. Jesus had to draw me out of the water time and again when I sunk like that. Dealing with my prejudices. But what is it that makes the rock on which Jesus builds his church? Just this. The willingness to be rescued, our imperfect selves, and to keep following him who chose us imperfect characters in the first place. The willingness to put our hand back in his hand. Lord, save me! You know? And then keep answering him as he says, now, follow me. That's all. Even when we have doubts and fears, even when he calls us to go places we'd rather not go, even when we're afraid of what's going to happen next, cry out, okay, Jesus, I'm sinking here, save me. And then letting him lead us from here to the next thing he has in mind. So now I know it more surely than I knew it then when I said it that day. Let me tell you, Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And nobody who builds their life on him, and no church that builds its life on him, will ever be disappointed. And anyone in any church who's willing to keep following him, even after they screw up time and again, they're going to grow more into what they're meant to be, until they finally follow him all the way to the kingdom of heaven. All the way. That's the rock, the solid foundation on which Christ builds his church, see? Trusting Jesus to save, and then just following him to the next assignment he has in mind for him. And you know what? Jesus was right about this. Even the gates of hell cannot prevail against a foundation like that.